Good morning. Welcome to Little Swatara on this kind of drizzly, sort of rainy morning. Raining more in Lititz than it was when we got here, but things are starting to grow and bloom. I had daffodils in my yard yesterday, and it was great. So, welcome. We are glad to have you here with us this morning. I know I was given one announcement this morning. There are plenty in your bulletins. Please look over them. Next Sunday, after the soup and sandwich, so two plugs, stay for the soup and sandwich, then join the caroling ministry and go out to some of our shut-ins and sing some of the hymns and things that they love so well. Any other announcements? I don't see anybody jumping up and down. So if you would stand and join me in the call to worship. Lord, we see the way you love us, laying down your life for our sins. Lead us as we sing to the change you desire in our hearts. Make us new. Let us count our many blessings. Help us, Lord, to love and live as you intended. Please join us in our first hymn, number 601, Take My Hand and Lead Me, Father.
Thank you. You know, when you're in the house of the Lord, it's a beautiful day, no matter what the weather is outside. Amen. It is so good to be together as the body of believers here to support, to encourage one another. Remember to do that as we leave this place, not just while we're here. Any joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family?
Just like to share my mother's home and just continued prayers for healing and for strength in her spirits also. And also Greg and Sarah Bryant ask for prayers for discernment and decisions they need to make. And Daniel has a visit with a specialist this week. They're also looking at changing his medicine and prayers that new medicine helps. And then Mary and I would like to share a joy. We have a new granddaughter born to our son Eric and his wife Emily. And Lillian May was born on Monday.
We attended my Uncle Galen's funeral yesterday, and just keep my father, John, high in your prayers as he went from the third son now to the oldest son in 6 weeks.
If you could keep our daughter, Jessie, in your prayers, and I'm going to ask for prayers for guidance of the doctors. They're doing EMGs, which is to test the nerve and the muscle intervention, and everything's coming up inconclusive, but she can't carry her two-year-old in her right arm. She doesn't have the strength anymore, and she's limited with the newborn Cortland will be 4 months. So she's definitely affected by this, but the doctors aren't finding conclusive evidence. So she's really struggling with being a mother and being limited in that and not having any answers. So I guess prayers for answers with the doctors for Jessie. Thank you.
I'd like prayer for a boy. I don't know his name. He stopped in at the cafe the other day. He's got an addiction, and he does want to give it up, but he's just not quite there. And try to pray that he will decide to give up things that he has to give up and maybe find a way.
I like prayers for my mom, Donna Subjack. She's going in for a surgery on Tuesday this week.
Would you pray with me? Lord God, we thank you for your overwhelming presence in this place. We thank you for the love. We thank you for the mercy. We thank you for the joy that you bring to our lives. But we confess, Lord, there are times it becomes a struggle. We lose loved ones and we have an empty feeling inside of us. And I just especially want to lift up my brother John and sister Diane and the entire family this morning. You would just continue to wrap your loving arms around them. You would support them, give them comfort, and just continually remind them of the hope we have that this life is temporary, but we know of our eternal destiny where Galen is and his other brother is now. And we just thank you, Lord, for that knowledge. We know as we go through this life, we'll face many things, and loss is one of those most difficult things we face. So, Lord, just be comfort to all those in this place right now that are suffering loss and dealing with that emptiness they feel inside. We do thank you, Lord, that you are close to us, that you walk beside us, you're behind us, you're in front of us, you're all around us at all times. And we thank you that you are the kind of God that we can depend on, that we can rely on, that we can trust, that we can believe, that we can have faith in, that no matter what comes our way, that you will see us through. So thank you, Father, for taking our hand, for guiding us through those uncertain times, through those times of temptation, through those times of sinning, Lord. You continually forgive us, and we thank you, Father, for your Son who offers that to us. We do want to lift up by name those on our prayer concerns this morning. And Lord, you know especially what they need in this very hour. And I'm praying for a very abundant amount of grace to be sufficient for these individuals. I pray for Carl this morning, for Barry, for Linda, for Paul, for John, for Xavier, for Mary Ann, for Joanne, for Christine, for Lester, for Dell, for Donna, for Jesse, for others that come to our mind even now, Lord. We just lift up those that are struggling with addiction. And Lord, I pray you would just break the chains of those addictions and allow these individuals to be set free, to find you in the midst of that. We lift up our sister church, Ephrata, and pray for their leadership. Pray for those attending there this morning, Lord. You would lead and guide and direct each of them as you do us here at Little Sotara. We do thank you, Father, for just meeting us here in this place. You know what we're going through in this very moment. You know the struggles we're facing. And Lord, you are here with us. And we just thank you for that ever-present help in our time of trouble. We do pause now, Lord, to offer repentance, to confess our sin. We know, Lord, that it so easily creeps into our lives, but we do take time and say that we're sorry, and we ask for forgiveness and also lift up those prayers upon our hearts. Father, we do thank you for the new life that we've been given. But we know, Lord, that that old life continues to try to make its way back in. But today, Lord, we take claim of that new life. And we ask, Lord, the changes that need to take place in our lives, you would enable. And we know it's through your help that we can change. But Lord, we need to come before you. We need to say, Lord, guide me, lead me, help me through this time of being renewed, being guided to the way you would have us live. So, Lord, we know that you continually are moving in our midst. We know that change can be a good thing within our lives when we're leaning more towards the type of life you designed for us to live. So we pray in this hour you would help us, Lord. You would lead us and you would allow us to know that you are with us as we go through this journey together. Thank you for being here in this place and with us as we leave. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's good to be here to worship with you this morning. I do want to give you an opportunity if you have a free Friday evening this week. Schuylkill Church of the Brethren is having their revival services this coming weekend. The Faithful Men will be at Schuylkill Church on Friday night. That service starts at 7:30. We'd love to take a gang from Little Sotara across the mountain and worship with our sister church. So if you have nothing to do Friday evening, join us.
On that resurrection morning, when all the dead in Christ shall rise,
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Sown in weakness, raised in power, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body.
Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home glory, of love eternal glory, with the redeemed of God to send.
There'll be no more worry.
There'll no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in glory land.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. What a hallelujah morning when the last trump of God shall sound.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. Graves all bursting, saints a-shouting, heavenly beauty all around.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. I'll have a new home of love eternal with the redeemed of God present.
There'll be no more sorrow,
no more pain, there'll be no more strife. Yes, raised in the likeness of my Savior, ready to live in paradise.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
I'll have a new body,
praise the Lord, I'll have a new life.
Yes, I'll have a new life.
Amen.
There was a time I traveled a lonely, sinful road, beneath a heavy burden bending low. But now all things are different, for Jesus took my load.
It's all right now.
It's all right now. I'm His, I know.
It's all right now.
It's all right now, for I am in my Savior's care.
It's all right now.
It's all right now.
My Savior hears and answers prayer.
He'll walk with me.
He'll walk beside me
till I climb the heavenly stair.
And everything is all right now.
Sin I wonder, no more in darkness roam. The Lord has placed my feet on higher ground. Each day new heights I'm gaining, my soul is nearing home.
It's all right now.
It's all right now.
I'm heaven bound.
It's all right now.
It's all right now,
for I am in my Savior's care.
It's all right now.
It's all right now.
My Savior hears and answers prayer.
He'll walk with me.
He'll walk beside me
till I climb the heavenly stair.
And everything
is all right now.
It's all right now.
It's all right now, for I am in my Savior's care.
It's all right now.
It's all right now.
My Savior hears and answers prayer.
He'll walk with me.
He'll walk beside me
till I climb the heavenly stair.
And everything
is all right now.
All right now.
All right now.
Can I get another amen? So, working with Pastor Matt and my husband this week, and towards the end of the week, we're trying to, you know, figure out the service and everything. And you're going to hear a lot about change. There's play on that. And yesterday, looking at Facebook, I come across this little picture, and it says, "Be that person. Tip your server. Return your cart. Pick up a piece of trash. Hold the door for the person behind you. Let someone into your lane. Small acts of kindness have a ripple effect. That's how we change the world." Pray with me, please. Heavenly Father, let us be that change. Let us do those little acts of kindness, things to us that don't seem a big deal, may just be the change the person behind us needs. Amen. I'd like to ask the children to join me up front. You guys can kind of sit like on either side here, okay? Yep, not right there, because right there we're gonna be doing a little something here this morning. So bear with me for just a second. Oh my goodness. Whew. Oh my goodness, that's heavy, huh? You guys, you know what this is, right? I think you can buy very much with this penny. All right. So what about, it's more than just pennies, but do you think you could buy something with that?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe. How about with that much?
Yeah.
How about with all of this?
Yes.
Does that add up to a little bit?
Yeah.
So we started out with one little penny, but we couldn't do too much with that. And then we added a few more, and a few more, and a few more. So you guys remember last Sunday? Do you remember anything about last Sunday? What was last Sunday? It was the one great hour of sharing. And some of you brought up your little fishy banks with coins in it. And your little fishy bank full of coins probably couldn't help a whole lot of people. But when we added your fishy bank, and your fishy bank, and your fishy bank, with your fishy bank, with your fishy bank, with all the fishy banks of all the kids all around, we can help a lot of people.
Like that.
Like that. Like that great big pile of coins right there. So later on, Pastor Matt's going to be talking about how little things add up. Now, little sins can add up to big sins. But even more important, little good things we do, little tiny acts of being nice or being kind or being helpful, they add up to the really, really big things. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, help us take small steps each day to listen and obey you, and help us to put those small steps together until something big happens. Amen. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
The scripture this morning is from John chapter 13, verses 10 and 11, and then 18 and 19. Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." And it goes down further, "I am not referring to all of you. I know those I have chosen. But this is to fulfill the scripture, 'He who shares my bread has lifted up his heel against me.' I am telling you now, before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe that I am he."
Coin, noun, a flat, typically round piece of metal with an official stamp used as money.
Common, plentiful. You have a jar full at home.
I've got a pocket full of them right now.
Convenience stores have a tray full of them to make up that tiny amount over a dollar.
You talk about them more than you realize.
Flip a coin.
Stop on a dime.
Penny for your thoughts.
Don't take any wooden nickels.
Cost me a pretty penny.
Not worth a plug nickel.
They're a dime a dozen. They're two sides of the same coin.
Find a penny, pick it up.
All day long, you'll have good luck.
A single coin is almost worthless.
Good only for a gumball or a song in a jukebox.
And yet, in great numbers, they add up.
A few years ago, Thomas Daigle made his last mortgage payment with 62,000 pennies.
A Virginia man paid sales tax at the DMV of almost 300,000 pennies.
Little things add up.
Small decisions pile up to make big changes.
Good.
Bad.
It all adds up.
Small sins.
Tiny lies.
Little baby indiscretions.
A concession to temptation here and there.
But pretty soon it all adds up.
The book of James says, after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when full grown, gives birth to death.
We must count the cost of each decision.
Like a kid at Chuck E. Cheese, who's torn between skee-ball or the crane machine.
Think carefully how you'll spend your coin.
Think carefully about how you will act in the dark when no one is looking.
Think carefully about twisting the truth.
Think carefully about that extra glance in the wrong direction.
Think carefully about helping yourself to a little more than your share.
After all, it adds up.
A burden so heavy we cannot bear it.
A debt so enormous we could never repay it.
But though the weight of the burden would break us,
though the balance on the tally sheet of our lives seemed to be written in indelible ink,
there is one who carried that burden.
There is one who marked the balance paid.
Infinite coins and currency could never equal the price he paid.
Remember the hill called Calvary.
Remember Christ's love.
Remember the cost.
Remember the cross.
We all had one of those change jars at home. Mine was in actual shape of a pig, and now we have this one that's a giant pretzel barrel. But you ever notice that coins don't really buy what they used to? My buddy and I would bike for miles just to get penny candy and a 35-cent soda. At the grocery store, I could bug my mom for a quarter to play that claw machine. Now, when LaShane asks, it's either 50 cents or a dollar. But we'd all agree that change matters. It adds up to create value. I'm always impressed the amount of change the counter sums up so I can deposit to my savings. What I thought to be $10 or $15 would total over $30. But the key was to keep depositing and creating more change Every penny, every nickel, every dime, every quarter mattered. But what if we compared those coins to sin? No matter how many coins in our lives, they'd never add up to the cost of Jesus' sacrifice. You see, friends, Jesus gave everything he had. And no matter how much sin we may accumulate, his sacrifice pays them in full. But let's take it a step further. For today's purposes, let's look at the change that really matters. The change that comes from knowing and from following Jesus Christ, our Lord. In our scripture, that change took on two variables. Among the disciples, coins weren't his only fancy. There was this one guy, the concept of change seemed to never really settle in. Call it ignorance, call it greed, call it power, call it what you will. Judas Iscariot was remembered for one thing, betraying Jesus. Now keep in mind, he was one of the 12 disciples who lived with and followed Jesus for 3 years. He witnessed Jesus' ministry, his teachings, his many miracles. But he also happened to be the treasurer for the group. And this spells out the type of treasurer he was in John 12:6. You may remember this passage where Mary pours that expensive perfume on Jesus' feet, and then she wipes it with her hair, and Judas's comments say it could have been used for greater purposes. The verse reads, he did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Warren Wiersbe, in his book on Judas, helps us understand more. He writes this, Judas was a common name in that era. There were several other Judases mentioned in the New Testament. Even one of the other disciples was named Judas, and so was one of Jesus' own half-brothers. So know the difference. In John 6:71 and 13:26, it refers to Christ's betrayer as Judas, son of Simon Iscariot. Now, scholars have several ideas about that surname. One is that Iscariot refers to Kirioth, a region or town in Judea. Another idea is that it refers to the Sicarii, a group of assassins among the Jewish rebels. This possible association with the Sicarii allows for an interesting speculation about Judas's motives for his betrayal. The fact he made a conscious decision to betray Jesus remains the same. Luke 22:48, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? There's no doubt here which Judas is being referred to. It's like those moments in life when our mother calls out our full name. Matthew, Shane, Christ, get in here. I knew immediately who she was talking about, and again, I probably ate a piece of the dessert intended for the church picnic. But there are facts that we glean from key verses about Judas, about his betrayal. Money obviously carried value to him. Let's be honest, it carries value to us. Remember those times that people would offer you money to do some pretty silly things? I'll never forget those days in junior high, and one such instance involved a $5 bill. But it also involved piercing my ear. This dude knew I didn't like the pain, but that night I found this earring in my mother's jewelry box. I found a piece of ice in the freezer, and I numbed my ear. And I took the needle and listened to the cartilage crunch as I poked through my lobe. The earring was in. The $5 was mine. But the next day, I missed the bus. Of all days, my mom had to take me to school. We made it about a mile down the road. I'm sitting there completely still because, you know, a full carat of cubic zirconia, every movement would glisten and shine that jewel like the stars. But mother, she looked my way, and I've never seen her bring the car to a stop as quickly as she did. And those words, Matthew, Shane, Chris, get it out, get it out. And I did so quicker than I ever ate any double cheeseburger. But friends, I have a confession to make. Change mattered that much to me. I put it back in when I got to school, and I took the $5. I never felt so much remorse. I knew it was wrong, but I thought I would be able to benefit myself by being able to get that Nintendo game I've been wanting. In one way or another, change has played a role in our lives. We've bought lottery tickets. We may have played the slots. We may even have bet on horses and somehow thought it may benefit us. But we know the chances are slim. I don't have to tell you. According to the Lottery USA, the odds of winning the Mega Million jackpot are 1 in 302.6 million. And the odds of winning the Powerball jackpot are 1 in 292.2 million. Combine those two and the odds of winning both jackpots for more than $1 billion comes out to 1 in 88 quadrillion. Friends, that is the number 88 followed by 15 zeros. In fact, these things are much likelier to happen. According to CDC numbers, you are about 30,000 times more likely to get injured in your bathroom. The National Weather Service data shows you are about 250 times more likely to be struck by lightning. That Jaws scenario, death by shark attack, is 80 times more likely, according to the Florida Shark Museum. So in Matthew 26, 15, Judas is saying to the chief priest, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. But why 30 pieces of silver? In Hebrew culture, 30 pieces of silver wasn't that much money. In fact, according to Exodus 21:32, it was the price paid to the master of a slave if and when his slave was gored by an ox. The slave's death was compensated 30 pieces of silver. That is what the chief priests thought Jesus' life was worth. John 6:70, Jesus told his disciples, "Have I not chosen you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." And at the Last Supper in John 13:26, Jesus predicts his betrayal and identifies the betrayer. Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then, dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, son of Simon. Jesus even said that Judas Iscariot was not clean. In other words, the change that matters never happened. He wasn't born again. He wasn't forgiven of his sins. But friends, he was so close. He never took the next step. In fact, John 13:27 implies that Judas was empowered to do what he did by the devil himself. It reads, "As soon as Judas took the bread that Jesus had given him, Satan entered into him." Now, interestingly enough, the other disciples really had no clue that Judas harbored these thoughts. And here's the proof. John 23:22, when Jesus mentioned a betrayer in their midst, the other disciples worried that it was they who would prove disloyal. No one suspected Judas. He had become a trusted member of the 12. Even when Jesus told Judas in John 13:27, what you are about to do, do quickly. Judas leaves the supper table and the others think he's going to buy more food or give something to charity. So the scene unfolds. Judas betrays the Lord himself with a kiss. But then something powerful happens next. After committing this act, we read in Matthew 27:3, Judas was seized with remorse, and he returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and the elders. But friends, remorse does not equal repentance. Judas never made amends. He never sought forgiveness. He's ever so close in verse 4 saying, I have sinned, for I have betrayed innocent blood. Now, I'm not God and I can't judge the situation, but the chief priests may have had it right. They replied, what is that to us? That is your responsibility. We know how the story of Judas ends in his own death, but we can't help but to wonder, could it have turned out differently? Friends, no matter how many coins add up in our lives, change matters, and the price Jesus paid covers it all. Judas Iscariot goes on to fulfill the prophecy of Psalm 41:9. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. But Judas was responsible for his actions, and so are we. Jesus said in Matthew 26:24, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Now, I don't know about you, but this verse gives a rather strong indication of Judas's final destiny. But what's so difficult to understand is how someone can be so close to Jesus and follow through on such a monstrous act. Friends, it reminds us to guard against those small, those gradual sins that continue to add up and gain strength and continue to gain power in our lives. That's not the change we're looking for. And ultimately, what they'll do is open doors to more fatal influences. It also reminds us that appearances can be deceiving. We can go through the motions, and we can look like someone we're not. But only God, only each of us, knows the truth of who we really are. Jesus said in Matthew 7:22 and 23, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. So friends, why did Judas betray Jesus? We can be absolutely certain. We can't be absolutely certain, but some things are. Although Judas was chosen to be one of the 12, the scripture points to the fact he never really believed Jesus to be God. It's very possible he may not have been convinced Jesus was the Messiah as Judas understood it. Unlike the other disciples that called Jesus Lord, Judas only refers to him as rabbi. And what that means is Jesus was nothing more than a teacher.
There were times the other disciples would make great professions of faith and loyalty. But Judas, he appears to remain silent. But friends, the same can be very true of us. If we fail to recognize Jesus as God in the flesh and the only one who can offer forgiveness and eternal life, are we really all that different from Judas? All the coins in the world would only bankrupt us in the end if the change that matters never follows. You see, Judas was consumed by greed, so much so that he betrayed not only the trust of Jesus, but eventually his fellow disciples. So here is our takeaway. Judas may have followed Jesus simply because he saw the crowds. He thought perhaps he could profit from the collections that were taken from these groups. Yet even still, Judas, like most people at that time, believed the Messiah was going to overthrow Roman occupation and take the position of power ruling over the nation of Israel. Judas may very well have followed Jesus, hoping to benefit from association with him as the new reigning political power. There's no doubt he expected to be among the ruling elites after that revolution. Even though by the time of Judas's betrayal, Jesus made it very clear he is going to die. Although there will be no rebellion against Rome, Judas may have assumed, just as the Pharisees did, that since he wasn't going to overthrow the Romans, he couldn't have been the Messiah they were expecting. Friends, life doesn't always turn out for everyone the way we expected. Judas is teaching us that even the best example, even the most compelling evidence, the most fine teaching, the ultimate environment for cultivating faith cannot in and of itself change the human heart. So the question for us today is this: if Jesus is who he says he is, does change matter? Will change impact our present and our future lives? And friends, we can be assured change for Jesus is the greatest change you'll ever add up. Would you pray with me? Lord, you know us. We like to think we know ourselves. But today, Lord, we're looking at the evidence of change in our lives. Do we resemble your son Jesus? Are there aspects of our lives that demonstrate love for one another? Do we encourage? Do we uplift? Are we willing to sacrifice so that love would be evident? So, Lord, in this very hour, I pray that you would examine our hearts. And, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, you would guide us and lead us to the freedom from our sins we've been searching for, that we would line up with the will you have for our lives. So here we are, Lord. Use us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
I love you, tell us so, bring your
May the change that results from the transforming love of Jesus Christ our Lord add up in our lives this very day, that we would go forth from this place and that change would be the difference for the lives of others as we tell the story of Jesus' love. Amen.